Senate Democrats needed a witness to make the case that the new Attorney General nominee mistreats DOJ employees. So they called a former Justice Department pardon attorney to testify about how she got fired. What they didn't put on the record, 8 months before she lost that job, this same witness had recommended clemency for every single man on federal death row, all 40 of them, including the Charleston church shooter. Both of those things are true. Neither one cancels the other out. You're listening to Civic Intelligence. Today, the witness Democrats called to attack Todd Blanche's confirmation, and the memo with her own name on it that nobody in that hearing room brought up. Todd Blanche has been serving as acting Attorney General since early April 2026, after President Trump removed Pam Bondi, a Republican, over her handling of the Justice Department's Jeffrey Epstein files. On July 15, 2026, Blanche sat for his confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, chaired by Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois and the committee's ranking member, called his star witness, Liz Oyer, a career non-political official who served as DOJ's pardon attorney from 2022 until Blanche fired her in March of 2025. Durbin's office previewed her testimony this way. They will offer compelling testimony about the dangers of Todd Blanche weaponizing the Justice Department in service of Donald Trump rather than the American people. Oyer is not accused of any crime. Her testimony concerns her own firing and DOJ's handling of the clemency process. That part of the record deserves to be taken on its own terms. But there's a second part of her record that Durbin's office didn't put front and center. According to an October 30, 2024 memo from Oyer, obtained by The Federalist, she recommended clemency for all 40 men then sitting on federal death row. All 40, including Dylan Roof, the man convicted in the 2015 mass shooting at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston. In her own memo, Oyer wrote that Roof was, quote, not a compelling candidate for clemency, and recommended clemency for him anyway. President Biden ultimately commuted 37 of the 40 sentences to life without parole on December 23, 2024. He declined only three: Roof, Robert Bowers, convicted in the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, and Johar Tsarnaev, convicted in the Boston Marathon bombing. The 37 who were commuted include men convicted of extraordinarily violent crimes. Marvin Charles Gabrion II kidnapped and raped 19-year-old Rachel Timmerman, who was set to testify against him on a pending rape charge, then chained her to a concrete block and threw her alive into a Michigan lake. Her 11-month-old daughter Shannon died with her. The infant's body was never recovered. Anthony George Battle raped and murdered his ex-wife, then, while already imprisoned, beat a correctional officer to death with a hammer. Jorge Avila Torres murdered a Navy petty officer and separately stabbed two young girls, ages 8 and 9, to death. Kaboni Savage ordered the firebombing of a witness's house, killing the witness, her family, and four children inside.
To be precise about what's documented and what isn't, President Trump's Executive Order 14-164, signed the following month, described the 37 as, quote, the most vile and sadistic rapists, child molesters, and murderers on federal death row. That's the source of the child molesters language you may have seen in headlines about this story. It's the executive order's own characterization, not a specific documented child molestation conviction among the 37. Their underlying federal convictions are for murder, several with rape as an aggravating factor. And to be equally precise on the other side,
None of the 37 is a candidate for release. All 37 remain incarcerated for life, without parole. This is a commutation, not a pardon and not an exoneration. Nobody walked free. President Trump reacted to the commutations at the time on Truth Social. Joe Biden just commuted the death sentence on 37 of the worst killers in our country. When you hear the acts of each, you won't believe that he did this. Makes no sense. The pushback wasn't limited to the incoming administration either. Senator Tom Cotton's office introduced two Senate resolutions in January of 2025, S. Res. 24 and S. Res. 25, condemning the Battle and Gabrion commutations by name. That's a level of specificity worth sitting with. Not a general objection to the clemency process, but a formal Senate resolution naming individual commuted inmates and the crimes behind their sentences. Here's the detail that makes Durbin's framing hardest to square with the timeline. Oyer wasn't fired over the clemency memo. She was fired in March of 2025, 2 days after Blanche's own confirmation as Deputy Attorney General, after she refused a directive to recommend restoring the gun rights of the actor Mel Gibson. So, the witness Democrats called to prove the new attorney general retaliates against DOJ employees for doing their jobs correctly was, 5 months earlier, recommending clemency for a man who murdered a teenage mother and her infant daughter, and calling it, in her own words, not compelling, but doing it anyway. DOJ, for its part, dispatched armed U.S. Marshals to Oyer's home in April of 2025 to deliver a warning letter about executive privilege ahead of her congressional testimony, a detail Democrats have cited as evidence of intimidation, and one this story doesn't resolve either way. 8 of the 37 commuted inmates have since been moved to the ADX Florence Supermax facility, and prosecutors are pursuing new state capital charges in at least 2 of those cases. Both threads are real. Durbin's witness has a legitimate grievance about how she was treated on her way out the door. She also has a paper trail that complicates the picture Democrats wanted that hearing room to see. And it's worth being precise about one more thing, because this story has real limits to what's actually confirmed. The armed marshal visit to Oyer's home is documented by Newsweek's reporting, but nothing in the public record establishes it as retaliation specifically for her hearing testimony, rather than a standard executive privilege notice tied to any former official's congressional appearance. Readers and listeners can draw their own conclusions about intent. The facts on the table are the memo, the firing, the marshal visit, and the sequence in which they happened. Democrats called Liz Oyer to make Todd Blanche's confirmation about how he treats DOJ employees. Her own paper trail makes it about something else entirely. A career pardon official who recommended mercy for a man who drowned a mother and her infant daughter, and who was fired, not for that recommendation, but for a different one, months later, involving a movie star's gun rights.
Every memo, every commutation record, every quote in this episode is sourced and linked on the page. Explore every source for yourself at civicintelligence.news. If you want episodes like this one as soon as we publish them, subscribe to Civic Intelligence wherever you're listening.